we had Jameis on. We heard the Jameis audio. Well, we didn't have him on the show. We had the Jameis audio. He's becoming a redemption arc that I think people are starting to get on board with. That guy stepped in it so many times in college, including very serious allegations. Yes. Like, people talk about the crab legs, but there were very serious allegations where so many people were down on him, right? And by the way, they were the sexual assault charges that were against him were ultimately dropped, and I believe it was they were unfounded, right? They were lacked evidence.
Yes.
But that guy has been through it. His career went into a spiral when he was in Tampa. He goes and he starts redeeming himself and kind of changing the narrative about him when he was in New Orleans. And now here he is in Cleveland, where guys are pulling behind him. Which career arc is more impressive, Jameis or Baker's? Because you see the one about Baker Mayfield that came out this week?
Hmm.
So earlier this year, there was a Texas high school that needed equipment in order for their season to go on. They didn't have helmets. They weren't it was some sort of powerhouse. It's a really small school. Baker Mayfield donated $17,900 so they could buy equipment, buy helmets for their team so they could play. They won a state championship.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, they went from a 3-8 season to the next season winning the state championship.
10-3. So it wasn't like some powerhouse that he played for.
Yeah.
It was, he saw a team that was in need, donated almost $18,000. They go on and win the state title. And their whole team is saying that they bonded over watching Baker Mayfield, pulling for Baker Mayfield, and they end up winning a state title.
That's pretty cool.
And he did it like in the shadows, right? Like, this wasn't something that was overly publicized or that Baker's PR team was pushing out there.
Yeah.
This was
Baker
doing something good for people.
And the thing is, I think Baker got lumped into the same group or same persona as Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely, because he was on the heels of it, yeah.
But he was never that.
No. He was the walk-on who ended up winning a Heisman, who, nobody believed in.
He should have been the really cool story.
Yeah.
But he was a little cocky. And
he was immature.
And he may have planted a flag and, you know.
Grabbed his crotch. Yeah. And, like, he did a lot of things that turned people away, for sure.
Look, I mean, I'm not trying to excuse it, and I'm not going to excuse it. But, look, you give a kid all of that fanfare, all of that money. Yes, he got money. If you're insane, if you don't think he did, at that age, when they haven't been kind of like heading towards that path, and it's like when somebody wins the lottery, so they end up going broke or doing something very stupid because there hasn't been a path to that. You know what I mean? And that's I think that's what happened. And I think he grew up and he matured. Now, like, we talked about this last year, like, Baker, not only is he just he's a good quarterback, like, I like him. Like, I genuinely like him.
Look, there's something to, like, the dumb mistakes that college athletes used to make. They were, and, like, some of those guys, especially in the SEC, right, they were given a lot of money and a lot of perks that nobody was supposed to know about. And so there was, like, this invincibility cloak because they could get away with more because they weren't supposed to have the money. So there were going to be people working to cover it up. Now with NIL, there's accountability because people know.
Everybody know you have the money.
And especially when that money comes from the university now, those mistakes are going to be amplified and they're not going to be covered up like they once were.
And it comes with strings attached now.
Yep.
You gotta toe the line.
Yeah. And it was like, I'm sweeping under the rug. Well, that's going to be a lot harder to do now. And that gives that the maturity level of Baker was non-existent. And you could say the same for Jameis Winston too. I find myself now starting to pull for both of those guys. More so Baker Mayfield though, just because of, he seemed like he was, like, Jameis never seemed like he was this conceited jerk that he just seemed wildly immature, right?
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield seemed like he was legit an a-hole. Like,
very bro-y.
No, more so than bro-y, just like entitled is what Baker felt like. Now you feel like he has been humbled for a really, really long time. And he went through it.
I know that.
Yeah. But both those guys' arcs are significant.
Look, there's nothing that we love more as like a community of sports fans is than a redemption arc.
Yep. Yep.
For the best and worst of people.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a game flexed on into a Thursday night.
We did.
Yeah. And it's going to be a quack off. The Los Angeles Chargers, quarterbacked by Justin Herbert, will be playing on a Thursday night now, December 19th, against the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix in the Denver Broncos.
Could have some AFC playoff implications.
Right now, with the way that both of those teams are playing, absolutely it will have playoff implications for those teams. Now, they've got to do the work over the next, 4 weeks to make sure that they stay in those hunts.
And in order to get this game flexed in, they had to flex it now. You have to have there's a 28-day window. And actually, both teams have the opportunity to say, no, screw you, because it makes it a short week. But on the flip side, doesn't give them a bye, but it gives them an extended week of preparation going into week 17.
Yeah.
Which matters.
Gives you a little bit extra, that what they call the mini bye.
Mm-hmm.
They call those the mini bye. And that would lead to quite the weekend if Oregon were to be hosting a college football playoff game.
No.
Right? Because that game going to be on December 19th, the first round of the college football playoff. Friday, December 20th, Saturday, December 21st. So there's only one game on that Friday.
See, that's what I feel like that gives, I know this is dumb. I feel like that's an unfair advantage for the two teams, or the winner that comes out of that game over the winners of the games, the three games the next day.
That one day extra there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no matter what. Whoever wins is playing a team that's sitting on a bye, so
yeah.
There's your big advantage.
Yes.
If it was like you would have, if any of those teams would have had to meet up head to head, I think that'd be like, yeah, that's bogus. You can't really do that. But since they're going to be waiting for a team that's going to be on a bye anyways,
fair enough.
You know, I'll say nothing burger.
Fair enough.
More or less a nothing burger. And I think they all get more than a week off too, because of how the quarterfinal round matches up on the calendar. It's not going to be a traditional 7 day, because I think the next ones, I think you get at least 10 in between. Yeah, 9 or 10 days in between, because they're playing a midweek, because those games are going to be like closely around New Year. So you got the Fiesta Bowl is going to be on December 31st, and then all the other ones are, the quarterfinal games are January 1st.
Okay.
So it's a 10 to 11 day gap that you have there.
Look, gotcha. The foosball towards the end of the calendar year here is just gonna be great with the CFP.
It really is.
Having that break and then the run of games that we get with the additional rounds, it's gonna make things fun.
Well, and then just think of this. You will have the semifinals of the college football playoff are January 9th and 10th. The wild card round of the NFL playoffs start January 11th and 12th.
Just bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. So then you'll have your divisional round of the playoffs.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Are going to be right before the national championship game.
Gotta love it.
Oh, yeah, brother. I feel it. Let's go. I am so in. So in.